Thank you so much. Sorry that was super scuffed. I was trying to cut the intro a little bit shorter because I know we're starting late today. I'm sorry about that. Our guest is coming to us all the way from Namibia. So we're lucky to be with her today, but it's always a little difficult to do the communication from that far away. Sanex, thank you for the 18 months. Conch with $23.65 and Coca with $1.69. Thank you so much. So today is our 49th episode of the Conservation Cast. Actually big time. We are speaking with Kelsey Prediger today. Thank you for the subs. Kelsey is a research associate at the Namibia University of Science and Technology Biodiversity Research Center. And she's secretariat of the Namibian Pangolin Working Group. Warber with $20. Thank you so much. So she studied zoology and conservation biology in the U.S., but she's been in Namibia for the past 4 years. For the past 2.5 years, Danza, thank you for the $20. For the past 2.5 years, she's been the lead pangolin researcher at the AfriCat Foundation, and she's pursuing her master's in natural resource management. Focusing on the ecology of ground pangolins. There are 8 species of pangolins, all of which are either considered vulnerable or critically endangered, I believe. Most of that, I assume, is because of... Hi, Dobbins. Because of habitat loss, but a big part of it is because of wildlife trafficking. A lot of people have said that pangolins are the most trafficked wildlife in the world. We'll talk to Kelsey about whether or not that's true and why that's true. If you guys aren't super familiar with pangolins, not penguins, pangolins, they are the only mammal that's fully covered in scales. Those scales are for their own protection, but don't necessarily protect them from wildlife trafficking. So, Green Geeks with $25, thank you so much. So we're going to talk a lot about that today and about why that is pretty devastating to them as a species. Kelsey is also on the board of Crash Wildlife. That might sound familiar to you. Or thank you for the $40. All of these donations today are going directly to Crash Wildlife. Dobbins, what did you just say? Do not. Cindy, thank you for the $5. All of these donations today are going directly to Crash Wildlife. If that organization sounds familiar, it's because we've spoken with them before. If you guys remember James, canine anti-poaching, he had Puma, who's his Weimaraner that he uses for anti-poaching, also in Namibia. Crash Wildlife stands for Conservationists Raising Awareness for Species and Habitats. They're an awesome organization. They raise awareness and donations for lots of causes. They do cheetahs, pangolins, rhinos, elephants, meerkats. They're all across the board. And their big thing right now is they're raising money to build a rescue and research center in Namibia. Jude, thank you for the $10. So a lot of our donations will be supporting that cause. You guys know that I'm a wildlife rehabilitator. The idea of them building a rehab center and a research center all the way over there is really, really cool. So I hope that we're able to support that today. Zarita's with the $5. Tripod with the $35. Thank you so much. So $185.34 already for Crash Wildlife. In addition to that, Crash has a Kickstarter campaign right now to support that project of their rescue and research center in Namibia. If you do command pins, you can make a pledge for that Kickstarter if you're interested. They have some really, really cool soft enamel pins that they're selling. Really, really neat art. I'll show you. It's this. I've pledged for a pin already because I think that they're so cute. These are their pins. You can also get stickers. And this is all to raise money for that center. So we'll talk more about that during the podcast, but there should be a command. It's in the title. Oh. Okay, well, there will be a command. Other things for the podcast. Oh, it's command pin. It's command pin. My bad. Could you change that in the title, please? I think I did pins in the title. So, the podcast lasts about an hour. Other things for the podcast. Orders of business. Oh, it's pin or pins. Cool. So if you have a question during this podcast, if you want to know something about pangolins that I'm not asking, you are welcome to ask a question. You do that by doing hashtag ask, followed by your question. Nothing fancy. That's it. It'll send it to a doc for me. So I'll have that doc open and I can read questions to Kelsey as we go through. And Dylan, thank you for the 13-13. Perfect. Ramen just did a perfect example there. So if you're looking at how to ask a question, follow Side Ramen's example. There will also be a quiz at the end of the podcast. Yeah, Dobbins, whatever you want. There's a quiz at the end of the podcast based on my conversation with Kelsey. Five questions, 20 seconds a question, no trick questions. It's just about the podcast. So if you win the quiz, if you're not already a sub to my channel, I'll gift you a sub. If you are already, sub to my channel, I'll gift you a sub to a channel of your choice. Or you can ask me to donate an additional $5 to Crash today. But that'll be at the end of the podcast. I think that's it. I'm trying to go through this intro kind of quick. I'm sorry that I'm talking kind of fast. But Dylan, no, Super with $20. Thank you. Okay, Dixie, good with the questions. Side Ramen, good with the questions. I will be back in a minute to talk to you about pangolins with Kelsey. Am I missing anything? Do I usually say something that I don't? Or that I didn't? Nope. All right, let's do it. I'll see you guys in a minute. I forgot the stinger. Hello.
Hi. How's it going?
Good. How are you? Could you
good.
Turn your camera on, please?
Sure. Let me figure it out. Okay. Is it working?
Yes.
Can you see me? Okay. Cool.
All right. Let's make sure that they can see you. Beautiful. Wonderful. All right. Chat, let me know about the audio. We did a test call, but let me know if there's an echo or something. Hi Kelsey, thank you so much for coming on today. Sorry, she had issues logging into Discord. I guess she had to do that like capture thing 15 times or something.
That was crazy.
But thank you so much for coming on. I did a short intro about you, about pangolins, about Crash. But I would love for you to tell us about yourself and about Crash. We've raised $218 so far for
Wow, that's amazing. Them.
So, yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks for having me. So I've been in Namibia for 4 years, and I am working in pangolin research and conservation. And I got involved with Crash because during my time here, I met Noelle, and we all have similar goals in conserving endangered species as well as their habitat. And that's how I got involved with Crash. And definitely please check out the Kickstarter for the fundraiser to have a rehabilitation center here in Namibia. That would be really helpful. But yeah, I can talk for hours on pangolins. So if you guys have, directed questions, or I can just keep teaching. I'm so sorry about that. Sorry. when I start talking, my cat likes to come cuddle.
That's cute. That's fine.
Anyways, no, I can talk for like ever about pangolin. I've been researching them for a long time. I actually was involved with large carnivores, especially big cats. And I was working on my thesis in Namibia, and it didn't work out to do carnivores. And I realized no one is doing research in Namibia on pangolin, and they're the most trafficked mammal worldwide. And I thought, you know, okay, I don't want my thesis to just be a piece of paper. I want it to be something that gives back to conservation. And so to do something on pangolin meant that even if I just do a thesis and I go back to the United States or somewhere else, that would be so valuable for the conservation of pangolin because nothing's been done in this country. Mm-hmm. And this is the most arid country out of their entire range. So that's how I got involved with pangolin. And because there's such a need for it, it kind of just hooked me. And now here I am, years later, still researching and conserving pangolin.
That's so neat. Can we start? Let's start with them. You said that they're the most trafficked. Did you use that word? They're the most trafficked wildlife?
Most trafficked mammal.
Mammal. So why is that? What are they trafficked for?
So there are 8 species worldwide. There's 4 in Asia and 4 in Africa. And unfortunately, they are a large part of Eastern Asian culture. Mm-hmm. They are used in traditional Chinese medicine as well as eaten as a delicacy in China and Vietnam.
I see.
So all 4 species in Asia are critically endangered or endangered, and that's because of the high level of poaching and trafficking that they've, the pressure that they've been under from these markets. Jeez. And now that these species are under such a threat and they're hard to find in Asia, they're turning to Africa to fulfill those markets. And that's why they're the most trafficked mammal, but I can go specifically into, like I said, they're eaten as a delicacy. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the way that they're eaten is they must be killed live at the table.
What?
And so that's something that it's very sad. It's very shocking. It's illegal. They're protected under CITES Appendix 1, which is the same level of protection that rhino have. Mm. There's no trade allowed of the species, but it still happens illegally because it's been a part of the culture for so long.
Right.
To eat a pangolin live at a table is considered a status symbol, so it's a way for people to show their wealth. And, you know, as pangolin are becoming more rare in Asia, they're turning to Africa. So additionally, as I mentioned, they're used in traditional Chinese medicine. As far as I know, they're used in over 250 different medicines as well as raw parts. And there's no actual medicinal value. There's nothing proven.
Mm-hmm.
The same with most traditional Chinese medicine.
Right.
And I can even touch on some current events. In times of COVID, pangolin were considered to be a potential cause. There's no actual proof to that. But in June this year, China passed a law that said pangolin are not allowed to be used in traditional Chinese medicine.
Oh.
And that's what they put out worldwide.
Uh-huh.
But if you look at the fine print, they only banned the use of raw parts of pangolin in traditional Chinese medicine. Oh. And at this point, I don't know the exact number, but it's over 230 medicines still use pangolin in their parts as an ingredient. So unfortunately, they're traded on a level such as that as rhino horn is.
Right.
But at the end of the day, the pangolin scales are made out of keratin, which is just the same as our fingernails.
Right. Their scales are super, super interesting. I'm going to pull up some pictures. I know you guys saw pictures in the intro, but they're such cool looking animals. Monkru, thank you for tipping $50. I'm sorry, $273. That's wonderful. Look how cool these are, you guys. While I'm looking at pictures, somebody asked, what is the role that they play in their ecosystem?
So that's actually a really good question. Pangolin are actually quite valuable to the ecosystem for many reasons. So the species that I work with is terrestrial, so it lives on the ground and it spends the days in burrows. Some of the other species are tree-dwelling, so they don't have all the same effect. But at the end of the day, they all consume a large number of pests. They eat ants and termites only, and these ants and termites can be considered pests because they eat a lot of organic matter that could be for livestock or wild, here we would say wildlife. Mm-hmm. So like here in Namibia, for example, having a pangolin in your ecosystem, their favorite species of ants and termites are mostly harvesting species. So they're harvesting organic matter, especially grasses. And so having that pangolin there, there's a rough figure thrown out. It's estimated they can eat like 70 million ants and termites a year. So they're eating these pests that eat the grass for wildlife, but also livestock. Uh-huh. So I think, you know, this is something really important that we're trying to teach the local people here, is actually having a pangolin is a good thing for you because it's killing the ants and termites that eat the food for your livestock. Mm-hmm. So they have a huge role in that aspect. But additionally, the terrestrial species, when they're digging, they're turning over the soil, and that puts additional air into the soil, but it also turns seeds back into the soil. So it can increase plant germination as well.
Oh, how cool. I had a picture pulled up of their tongue. It was a picture on Crash's Instagram. That tongue is incredible, this picture shot.
Yeah, so, pangolin, they're so interesting. They're so unique. They're pretty cool animals. Their tongue is actually as long as their body, not the tail, but the body. And so it's really interesting. They don't actually have a jaw. They don't actually have teeth. They just have one long sticky tongue. And the tongue is so long, it goes all the way down to the abdomen. And it has its own cavity where it's attached inside and it rests in a sheath. When the tongue goes down the hole, it's sticky. They have a gland in the throat that produces a sticky saliva that the ants and termites can stick to. And so then when they ingest this, it goes down into the stomach. And the stomach is actually not a normal stomach that that most people think of. It's more like a gizzard, more like a bird's stomach. Uh-huh. They don't have stomach acid. They actually have a muscular stomach, and it functions like a gizzard. So they ingest stones and gravel. And inside of the stomach is also keratinous spines to help grind up the exoskeleton of these ants and termites to digest them. But additionally, what's been found is they're targeting species that have a chemical defense. They very much prefer a species of ant that produces a formic acid as defense. And this formic acid also is believed to be a chemical compound that helps break down the exoskeleton in the stomach of the pangolin. So in the rainy season, here in Namibia, over 90% of the time in the rainy season, that's the only species they eat.
Wow, that's so interesting. I have never seen a tongue like that. I had a picture pulled up of like a side view of a drawing of that tongue. That is crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. And like when it comes out, it does this crazy curly thing. It's so flexible because what they do is they use their strong sense of smell to sniff out a nest. They prefer to target the larva and the eggs, and they open the nest up from the side. And so then you've got all the different tunnels that lead to different parts of the nest. And so that tongue is so flexible, it can just go this way or that way, and it just follows the nest to where it can access the eggs and the larva. And not only are the nests special because there's always a high density of ants and termites in general, but also the larva and the eggs give a high nutritional return compared to an adult that has an exoskeleton. But generally speaking, they do not forage individuals on the surface. Mm-hmm. You won't see them targeting surface active ants and termites. They specifically target the nest. And one of their favorite species I mentioned, the species I work, the pangolin species I work with, it varies across pangolin species. But the ground pangolin favorite species in Namibia is actually a species that congregates in high densities at night, mm-hmm. and they're active on the surface during the day. Mm-hmm. And so the pangolin are foraging at night, and they have these high densities of ants and termites that they can feed on because they're all congregated in the nest. So it's quite interesting to see how they target their food, because if they just went on surface active individuals, you know, they might get one or two or 10 here and there. They actually target the nest where there's thousands of adult individuals plus the larvae and the eggs.
That's so cool. So are they all nocturnal? The species that you work with are then?
So the species I work with is predominantly nocturnal. Their activity is completely dependent upon the temperature or environmental conditions.
Okay.
Not 100% temperature, but let's just say environmental conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So in the winter months, we will see some activity during the daytime because it's too cold for them at night.
Mm-hmm.
In a drought year, they're almost completely day active in the winter because they don't have enough body fat to stay warm. But generally speaking, from about September to April or May, they're completely active at night. And like I said, it's more about the temperature than about the daylight or anything like that.
Okay.
There are some species that are a bit more diurnal or active at day. For example, the white-bellied pangolin and black-bellied pangolin, they are both living more in the rainforest treetops, and they will be more active during the day.
I'm pulling up a white-bellied pangolin here. Oh, they're smaller.
Yeah, so the ones that live in the trees are like much smaller with long tails.
Wow.
So the name of the species I work with is the Temminck ground pangolin, or Smutsia temminckii, and they're the second largest species of the eight. They weigh anywhere from 8 kilos to 20 or so. Here in Namibia, because we're in such an arid environment and food availability is less, our maximum is about like 15 kilos. But I've heard the range goes up to like 18 or 20 in a place like Zimbabwe or Tanzania. But so here it's a little bit smaller. The largest species is the giant ground pangolin, and they can get over 35 kilos.
Wow, it's about 77 pounds.
But those species...
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. So those species only live along the equator where there's a lot higher rainfall and a lot more prey availability or food availability.
I see.
So the species that I work with here is the only species to be adapted to such an arid environment,
mm-hmm.
and they can occur in areas with as little as 250 millimeters of rainfall.
Wow.
I want to say that's like 10 inches of rain a year, if I'm right. 24 millimeters to an inch.
I've been typing in the conversions.
It's been a while since I've been on the American system.
No, that's fine. Yours is better anyway. Okay, so we've had lots of questions come through chat. There have also been a couple more donations. So we're at $328, SMK, Choke Captain. Thank you guys so much. So in addition to these donations, we've had lots of questions come through chat. Do you mind if we start on those questions?
No, by all means. I'm happier to ask questions because I can talk for hours. So I'd rather talk about what people are interested in.
Okay, for sure. So Max, one of the first questions we got was, is it true that pangolins are more closely related to cats and dogs than armadillos?
It's true. It's quite interesting, actually. So if you look at, the genetic tree, pangolin actually have been around for over 60 million years, and they are much more closely related to modern day carnivores than actually other ant-eating species, including anteaters and armadillos. And their shared features is an example of something called convergent evolution. So they have similar features because they evolved to eat ants and termites. So it actually has nothing to do with how related they are. it has all to do with evolution and evolving to eat ants and termites.
Very cool. Max, thank you for that question. That's really interesting. Okay, and then Max also asked, how strong are their scales? So you said that they're made up of keratin.
Yeah, so they're really strong. They do have natural predators, but a healthy adult usually would survive an attack by a predator. Juveniles, their scales are quite thin, but it's interesting. So the adults, the older they get, the more the edge of their scale gets worn down on the edge, mm-hmm. and it gets sharp like a razor.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So when a predator attacks them, they thrash around like this, kind of, and will actually slice open the predator with the edge of their scales. They can. When they get older, they get that sharp. I even had it where I've never had a really violent pangolin. I like to think I put out positive energy, and so they don't get angry or thrash around.
Uh-huh.
But I had it where I just moved my hand like this, and it sliced my finger right open because it was so sharp like a razor.
Wow.
But anyways, if you Google it, you can find videos of lions and leopards and hyena playing with the pangolin, picking them up even. And very often, if the pangolin just stays still and rolled tight, they survive because the predator will lose interest.
Right.
I've had many pangolin who've lost a scale to a predator, and the scales do not grow back. They do scar over, but usually they always heal. But a juvenile pangolin, their scales are very thin and very brittle, and they can just break. So the bite from a hyena or a lion to a juvenile would be lethal.
Oh.
But an adult, healthy pangolin, they don't easily break through the scales. They're very strong.
Oh, I see.
Much stronger than our fingernails.
At
some points, they can get to be a couple millimeters thick. At the center of the scale.
That's incredible. Schuler, thank you for the $5. Razor with 20. James with 10. So $363. Thank you. A couple people have asked how long they live for. Dixie was one of those people. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, that's actually a good question. So they're considered to be quite long-lived. They're believed to be able to live over 20 years old. There was an Asian species in captivity in a zoo that lived to be, I think, 23 or 25.
Wow.
In general, they don't live in captivity very well because they're used to eating a live diet
mm-hmm.
and not a captive diet. But in the wild, easily they should reach over 15 years of age.
Okay, very cool. Thank you for that question. And that's not what I expected. I thought it'd be a lot less. Okay. Other questions that we have lots of questions about defending themselves, how they defend themselves, but I think you just talked about that. Are there other ways that they defend themselves, or is it mostly just balling up and those scales?
The only way they defend themselves is to roll tightly into a ball and thrash around. And sadly, that's why they're so easily poached, because they literally just roll up
mm-hmm.
and then somebody picks them up and throws them in a sack or a box.
Mm-hmm.
They have the capability to run away, but they're not that fast. It depends. If you're in thick bush, they just run through the thorns, through the trees, through the grass, through the bushes. They can easily outrun me because I have to go around those things.
Mm-hmm.
But, in many cases, you know, if somebody approaches them, they'll roll tight in a ball and just think that they're hiding.
Right.
And then somebody can easily pick them up.
Oh.
They do have anal glands, and they can release a scent. And it's believed they'll release like a scent in defense.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have a noise they can make, like a hissing noise. But they don't have teeth. They don't even have a jaw. Their actual jaw is actually just cartilage, where the tongue just sits and goes in and out.
Right.
So other than thrashing around with their sharp scales, there's no other defense that they have.
Okay. Gosh, that's such a sad image of them just balling up. Okay, Fowlish asked, why are their tails so long?
Well, I mentioned earlier the tree-dwelling species have really long tails, and it's just like any other arboreal or tree-dwelling species you have. They use those tails to hang onto the branches, so if they slip and fall, they're caught with their tail. So they have these long, narrow tails. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you look at the terrestrial or land-dwelling species, they've got more of a fat, long, and wide tail. It is mostly prehensile, and the land-dwelling species will use that tail to push themselves up a straight slope. They go on top of the mountains. They do all kinds of things.
Can you define prehensile, just in case there are people here that don't know what that means?
Okay, sure, yeah. So prehensile is having the ability to grip. So just like a giraffe's tongue is prehensile in a way, and you know, the tail of a lot of monkeys is prehensile. They can grab onto a branch.
Let's see if I can find a picture of that. The black-bellied pangolins are beautiful. I'm pulling up pictures of those as well.
Yeah, they're really pretty.
Here's one in a ball.
I would love to see one.
I don't know if that this is the best picture example, guys, but it's kind of is. He's using it there to almost like another limb to climb a tree. That's really neat. Okay, wonderful. Other questions that we've had come through. Colsoy asked, do pangolins ever walk on two legs?
So some species do. The species that I work with does walk on just two legs. So that's considered to be bipedal. So their front feet, they've got really sharp claws. And if you think of kind of, they kind of look like a little T-Rex walking around. Uh-huh. And their pectoral muscles are made so they can rip open nests. So they walk on those two hind feet. And they use their large tail as a counterbalance. And sometimes they'll use the front feet when they're foraging. But generally speaking, if they're just walking, they only walk on their two back legs.
Wow. It's crazy to think that they're balanced walking like that. That's so neat.
Well, they've got this big tail in the back. Uh-huh. And then their body in the front, and it just balances out.
That's so cool. Health just tipped $50. Thank you so much. And with his donation, he or she asked, how has climate change affected the habitat and distribution of pangolins?
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
Yeah. They said, how has climate change affected the habitat and distribution of pangolins?
That's actually an interesting question, because Namibia is on the arid side of their distribution. Generally speaking, we have had some severe drought, which is not necessarily climate change. But as climate change is affecting the world, desertification is happening. And Namibia has the Namib Desert. We have these huge expanses of desert where about, I think it's something crazy, is like hundreds of meters every year are further desertifying. And so with climate change happening, we're most likely going to see this rainfall gradient shift. Mm-hmm. So in the drought that we had 2018-2019 here, very sadly, 50% of the individuals I studied died because there was not enough rainfall.
Oh, geez.
In other countries where there's more rainfall, they might not have had deaths, but they're having, you know, the big problem is with little rainfall, the prey availability is lower. Mm-hmm. So it affects, you know, pangolin worldwide when there's not the normal rainfall happening. And it's quite devastating. We didn't have a single pup survive the 2018-2019 winter drought. So drought is one thing, climate change is another thing, but in some cases they are tied to one another. And so, as I mentioned, as the climate change is affecting rainfall, it's possible we could see a shift in their range because their range is completely dependent on there being enough rainfall for their prey.
Got it. Okay, so a lot of that rainfall being dependent on their prey. Voken asked, yeah, how do they drink since Voken asks, how do they drink since they have no jaw? So is it more about their prey?
Yeah, that's
than
a funny question. So they actually will drink with their tongue and just like, so they could drink for a really long time to get water. But the species that I work with, the Temminck ground pangolin, is water independent. They get all of the moisture content they need from their prey. If they're presented with water, they might drink, but they don't necessarily need to. In the winter months, there's very often no standing water for them to drink from, but they'll get enough moisture out of their prey. But they do love the rain. They love to take mud baths. They love to roll in dung. And they will drink from water when it's presented to them. Mm-hmm. But they don't need to.
Okay. I had this video playing while you were talking about the drought of, I guess it's called a pup then, the young.
Yeah, they're called pups.
I can't believe that they're able to ride on the back like that, or how they maintain grip. It reminds me a lot of an opossum, but opossums are super grabby. This, I mean, there's no way I could do this.
Well, it goes back to the prehensile tail. Mm-hmm. So they actually grip onto the mom's back with the tail and then their two front legs. So it's kind of like a tripod. They're like hooked on with their front legs and then the tail grips on. And I've actually seen it where the pup was knocked off by a branch and the mom immediately stopped. And it was just this teeny little pup. And it just uses its tail to push itself to get back up on top of mom.
Wow. Also, chat, look at the way that it walks away and that it's really is using those back two legs only. That is incredible. What a cool creature. Okay, Blett-tipped 1182. Thank you so much. That brings us to $431.20. Thank you guys so much. If you're just getting here, there are, about 2100 people here. So we're talking to Kelsey Prediger today. She researches pangolins in Namibia, so it's late for you. What time is it for you? Like 8? Almost 9?
It's almost 9 p.m. here. Okay. Yeah, it's dark outside. I don't know if you can tell because I've got this reflective glass, but yeah.
No, we can't
tell. Quite dark outside.
That's what I told her on the test call when we talked to James. We could barely see him the whole time, so this is great.
I tried to turn on all the lights I could, so I'm not looking like it's nighttime.
No, it's wonderful. Thank you. Kelsey is on the board at Crash Wildlife. That's where your donations are going directly to today. The PayPal is hooked up to theirs. So Crash stands for Conservationists Raising Awareness for Species and Habitats. They do lots of work for lots of different species, giraffes, rhinos, elephants, pangolins. That's what we're talking about today. And they're also doing a Kickstarter campaign right now to raise money for their research and rescue center that they're hoping to build in Namibia. You could find that by doing command pin or command pins if you'd like to go support that campaign. But there's that. Kelsey also is a student at Namibia University of Science and Technology Biodiversity Research Center and Secretariat of the Namibian Pangolin Working Group. And is the lead pangolin researcher at AfriCat Foundation. So lots of very cool stuff. So lead pangolin researcher, what is the primary research that you guys do? Are you guys using, trackers? Are you surveying populations? What does it look like for you guys out there?
Yeah, so basically my research started with just my thesis project. Which is nearly complete. I'll be submitting it in the next month or so. And the focus originally was to look at the ecology of ground pangolin focused on areas that can benefit trafficked pangolin. So I easily forget to mention this because I've been working in the field so long. But very often in these African countries, we get, and Asian countries as well, equally, the police will seize live pangolin. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, they can just pick up a pangolin and throw it in a sack.
Right.
You know, sadly with rhino, they have to be killed to harvest the horn. But here, you know, with pangolin, they roll into a ball, people put them in a sack, and very often the police will seize them alive.
Okay.
So quite regularly, it's very sad. These pangolin get seized alive. We never know how long they've been held by their poachers. It could have been days. It could have been weeks. As I mentioned, pangolin are mostly water independent. They get their moisture from the prey that they eat. And so very often they're in like a very unhealthy state. They need rehabilitation, and then they need to be released again. And, you know, generally speaking, pangolin are quite territorial, and we don't know where these trafficked pangolin come from in the country. So we have to make a choice on where do we release these trafficked pangolin to give them the best chance at survival, fully knowing that where we release them most likely will have some sort of resident population. And so initially I sought out to answer some of the questions as, you know, what is the amount of space that they need to survive?
Mm-hmm.
What is their home range? What is their territory? And how does that vary from male to female? And then additionally, we wanted to look at, you know, what species of ants and termites are they eating? And what types of burrows are they using? So we could go into a site and say, this seems like an ideal habitat to release a pangolin that's been under all this stress and trauma and rehabilitation to maybe give it the best chance at survival.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of where things started. But it kind of snowballed from there because no one else is doing this research in Namibia. There is some research being done in South Africa, a little bit in Zimbabwe. But on the species, most of the research was done in the 1990s and very little has been done since.
Mm-hmm.
They're not an easy species to study. So we take in all the data, everything we can, anything we can. So I've got camera traps out now. We try and monitor births and the nursing and, you know, gestation period, different things like that, mating behaviors, social behaviors, feeding ecology, spatial ecology, anything and everything. We're just basically sucking up all the data that we can and basically doing whatever we can because it's also valuable. I also take body weights and measurements throughout the year to see how the body weight fluctuates over the rainy season, over the drought. All of these things are so valuable because they are so little researched.
Okay, thank you so much. James tipped $10, Anonymous with $10, Nun with $30, Danny with $10. We're very close to our $500 goal. We're at $496. Thank you guys for those donations. Danny, with his donation, asked a question. He said, how long is their gestation period?
The gestation period is about 5 months. They're considered to be a slow reproducing species because they only have one pup per year. The pup will stay with the mom and nurse for the first 4 to 5 months.
Wow.
And then after that, they usually stay in the mother's home range or the natal range where they were born for about a year before they disperse into a new home range.
Okay.
So they reproduce really slowly.
Yeah, that's unfortunate for conservation. Crowway, thank you for the $5. That got us to 500. So $501. Thank you so much. Okay, let's do a couple more questions that people have asked. Oh, this is an interesting one. Daj asked, do their tongues ever get bitten by the insects they eat, or are their tongues too tough?
So it's kind of funny, their preferred species, as I mentioned, is a formic acid species. They're also very aggressive. The common name is the pugnacious ant. And so they really like to bite. So their tongues get bit, their faces get bit. I've even seen it where I saw a pangolin with something black on the chest and I thought it was a tick. And it was actually the head of an ant. So the mandibles had attached to the skin and never let go, and the body fell off. So they do eat really aggressive species, but Their tongue is also very tough. It can handle it.
Ouch. that sounds terrible, but that's neat. Thank you for that question. I think there are other people probably thinking the same thing. Okay, here's a question I get quite often of people that are interested in working with animals, and my viewer base is relatively young. So Voon asked, for someone interested in studying conservation biology in college, what are some of your tips for getting into conservation and research during or after college?
I have to say that the more experience you get, the better chance you have. I know it's really competitive out there. And I mean, if I tell you my background, you'd be like, what? I've been a veterinary assistant. I've taught zoo classes at schools. I've also been a zookeeper. I've worked in rehabilitation. I've worked in sanctuaries and release. I've worked in wildlife breeding programs to supplement wild species programs. So I would say the best thing you can do is start volunteering, even if it's just cats and dogs, but start getting involved in wildlife and in animals and engage yourself. I know, I actually, even after I graduated with my bachelor's, I volunteered for 2 years doing different positions in conservation to get where I am now. Mm-hmm. If you have a really great, competitive academic program, you can move from your bachelor's straight into a master's research program. But I decided to take I took a few gap years to really decide what my focus was. And so I think the more experience you get is also good for you as a person, because it helps you figure out what you want to do. I was actually studying pre-veterinary medicine on a track to do exotic wildlife veterinary medicine. And then I started getting involved with different internships and NGOs and projects and zoos. And I realized I actually really want to help the bigger picture. And so I think we all love wildlife, but we all fall into the picture in a different place based on who we are. So you need to look at, what really do you enjoy? And you can only find that out by doing it. So just get involved, volunteer, do as many extracurricular activities you can out in nature with wildlife, with animals, and see what makes you happy. And, then it will all fall into place. Follow the open doors.
That's great advice. Thank you. Locke, thank you for changing that. Gwenny tipped $5 and Tack tipped $5. Thank you guys. Okay, so we only have a couple minutes, so it's kind of a similar question, but I always ask it to my guests at the end. Knights, thank you for the $10 donation. So if there are people here that care about pangolins or maybe care about them more after this podcast, have a soft spot for them, but are not necessarily studying conservation biology, or not out in Namibia doing the work on the ground, how can they support pangolin conservation the best?
So that's a great question. I always tell people one of the most important things with pangolin is awareness. So many people today still don't know what a pangolin is or what a pangolin looks like. And if we can just get every person, just think about it, almost every person, I would like to say every person you ask knows what a rhino looks like. Mm-hmm. But pangolin are poached in higher numbers than rhino. And I bet you over 50% of the population doesn't even know what a pangolin looks like. So just spreading awareness about what pangolin are, why they're important for the ecosystem, and why they're so threatened. And, just spreading that awareness is already a really positive step in the right direction. Just for people to know what a pangolin is and to understand how trafficked they are is a start. And I think that's one of the most, the most meaningful things we can do is to start spreading awareness, because you start with awareness and then it turns into education and outreach. And, I think that's definitely the most important thing, is to raise the level of awareness on the critical status of pangolin.
Perfect. That's a great answer. Thank you. So for those of you who have donated, thank you for that. For those of you who haven't or are not able to, that awareness, like she said, is super important. So if you've stayed here throughout this podcast to watch and to learn, that means a lot. So thank you so much. Choke tip $10 and Fernie tip $20. So that's gotten us to $552. Thank you guys for all your questions today. We're about out of time here, but Kelsey, is there anything else that you want to talk about or mention before we close up?
Well, we're wrapping up. So I think I said the most important thing is just keep raising awareness. You know, any post you see, please share it. We just need more people to know about pangolin and the plight of the pangolin. Like I said, I can talk hours about how amazing and interesting they are. They're such unique creatures. And I do have to say, getting to know them quite well, it's devastating because they're one of the shyest, gentlest creatures. They can be so terrified of people. And as I mentioned, they've been around for about over 60 million years. And only since people entered the picture are they threatened. Like I said, they virtually have almost no predators today because they have such a protective defense with their scales. So if we can continuously raise awareness, make people aware of how threatened they are, and continue to spread the word and raise funds to conserve them, that's the best thing anybody can do.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. Kev with 15, Sketty with 5, so we're at $572. I'm going to go ahead and do an outro and our podcast quiz, but I will send you I'll send you on WhatsApp the final donation amount so that you know. But thank you so much for coming on today. I know it's on the later side for you. I appreciate you downloading Discord and figuring all that out for us. This was really, really great.
Thanks for having me, and thanks everybody for joining in. I appreciate it, and the pangolin appreciate it even more.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. It was nice to meet you. I will be in touch with you very soon.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Have a good day. For me, it's a good night.
Yeah, good night. All right, bye.
Bye.
Pangolins. Hooray. I'm sorry about the video today. Chat, her audio luckily didn't cut out, I don't think at all, but part of the reason why I was pulling up pictures so often is because I know that her video was just constantly cutting out, but I think that's just because of the location. So it was good though, we got to see lots of pictures, so that was good. Phoenix, thank you for the $30. I also appreciate you guys being understanding about that in the chat. I didn't see a bunch of people complaining about the video, so I do appreciate that. It makes my job a little bit less stressful. Lots of really good questions today. Thank you for asking them. I learned a lot. My favorite thing, I think, from today was learning about their tongue and how that works. That's, like, the craziest. I don't know what I expected, but it wasn't that. So Kelsey's wonderful. I'm super glad that she got to come on today and that we got to raise more money for Crash. The idea of, please don't. Sorry, I'm talking to Ori. The idea of them building out a research and rehabilitation center in Namibia is absolutely wonderful. I think I have a lot of faith in them. I think they can make a lot of a difference over there. So again, if you would like to support that specific project, you can do command pin or command pins and go pledge for them. You also get really cute pins and stickers if you do that. I've done it. I'm very excited. Zach, thank you for the $15. Yeah, so wonderful organization. Wonderful species. Thank you, Top Shelf. Welcome. I don't know if you're just showing up, but true. So, quiz time. Yeah? Are you ready? All right. Peepo claps in chat for Chuck, who is the newest member of our production team, who writes our quiz questions for us. Also, I did have a call with QuizKit the other day, so it's a really big part of our podcast, and they've noticed. that it's a big part of the podcast, and they appreciate us using it. So we're going to be getting to work with them in the future. I'm very excited about that. So give me a couple minutes here to set up the quiz. The way that it works is it's 5 questions, 20 seconds per question. It's based off a point system, and you get points by answering questions correctly and quickly. So you got to click really fast to get the most points. Whoever gets the most points at the end of the quiz, if you're not already a sub to my channel, I will gift you a sub to my channel. If you are already subbed, I will gift you a sub to a channel of your choice, any channel on Twitch, or you can ask me to donate an additional $5 directly to Crash today. We're at $617.18. So no ramen, I doubt. All right. Do command quiz if you want to know how to set it up for your device. You can do it on mobile, you can do it on your computer, Android, iOS, whatever. I'll be back in a couple minutes. I just need to copy paste, set it up, whatever. Give me like 2 minutes. I forgot it was in slow-mo. I put it in slow-mo for the pangolin video. What's up? I muted the wrong thing. Okay, here we go. Quiz has been created. I will read the quiz questions to you before they show up on your screen. You need to click enable access. Loco with $100. Pangolins, hypers, Loco, thank you for the $100 donation. We've had lots of small donos come in today. I really appreciate that they come from lots of different places, but the big donos a lot of times carry this podcast, so thank you so much for that. That's amazing. I appreciate it. You need to click manage access. You need to allow access on your device so that I know what your username is for this quiz. Otherwise, you can't win because I won't know who you are. Here we go. The first question It'll show up in a second. Earth, thank you for the $10. Very nice message too. I appreciate that. Earth Eclipse. Okay, the first question that'll show up in a second is how many species of pangolin are there in Africa? In Africa. In Africa. Not in total. Stop saying the answer in chat. What are you doing? That's not how you participate in the quiz. Are there 8 species in Africa? Are there 4 species in Africa? Are there 10? Or is there only 1? Sorry, Brandon. Locke thinks that there are 7 in Africa. He is incorrect, because the correct answer is 4. How many species total? Chat? Cindy got it. Squid got it. Danny got it. Jazz got it. Dixie got it. Green Geeks got it. Or got it. Well done. 8 total. The correct answer is 4. 301 people got that right. Who got it right the fastest? Anybody? Contestant number 887. Followed by Simon Says Go Crazy. And then GM. Well done. All right. The next question is, what are pangolin scales made of? Axel, thank you for the $7.19. Are they made of mud? Are they made of diamonds? Are they made of ivory or keratin? I see lots of easy claps in the chat. Choke tipped another $20. Choke with a bunch of donations today. Thank you so much. Diamond scales. Mud scales. The correct answer is keratin, which is the same stuff that our fingernails are made out of. 356 people got that right. Holy cow. But who got it right the fastest? Loco, let's go. Loco followed by James, followed by Cinny. That puts somehow Funky Erdy in the lead. Followed by TSB and GM Cairo. Okay, the next question is, what role do pangolins play in their ecosystem? Are they an apex predator? Are they pest control? Are they an indicator species, or do they have no use in their environment? Johnny, thank you for the $5. Apex predator. No, the correct answer is that they're great pest control. What was the number? They can eat like, did she say 7 million? Did she say 70? What did she say? 70 million ants a year? Yeah. Okay, the correct answer is pest control. 276 people got that right. 59 people said that they're an apex predator. Probably missed the podcast. But that'd be sick. Oh, Adeline got that right the fastest, then Sneak, then Ivory, but oh, now Oh Adeline is in the lead, followed by Ivory. So Oh Adeline has pulled ahead. The next question is, what is the main reason all 8 pangolin species are endangered or vulnerable? So what is their main threat? For the 8 species? Is it predators? Is it a lack of food? Is it wildlife trafficking? Or is it that they are endangered, smile? Three, two, one. Aw, he got an ad. I'm sorry. Okay, Dobbin, sorry, you're a college professor. Nah. This quiz is for children. The correct answer is wildlife trafficking. That's 314 people that got that correct. It's not supposed to be a hard quiz, Dobbins. It's for fun, okay? Space Voyage got a perfect score. 20K. Then Ore, then Earthbound. Oh, Adeline is still in the lead, though. Space did not pull up even with a perfect score. Ivory is in second. Dagger is in third. This is the last question. Will somebody pull ahead of Oh, Adeline? And please pull ahead of Ivory. Question number 5 is, what age are pangolins expected to reach in the wild? Do they reach 30 years in the wild, 50 years, 15 years, or 5 years? Koopa Steve with $77.77. Koopa, thank you for the donation. Misclicked Sag, misclicked Peepo Clap. The correct answer is 15 years in the wild, but they had a pangolin in captivity that lived to be 23, I think is what she said. Long lifespan, 23 or 24. The correct answer is 15 years in the wild. 269 people got that correct. Well done. Who got it right the fastest for this question? Switch it down. Got a perfect score on that question, but Oh, Adeline has won the quiz this week. Oh, Adeline, where are you? Are you subbed? Oh gosh, I don't even know what color to look for. Five to the org. You got it. You got it. I can just do this with my panels because their PayPal is hooked up to my account. I probably have to do two-factor. Hold on. All right. Mockeru, thank you for gifting. Okay. I am donating the $5 now. I am sorry that we started a little bit late today. No, not $10 extra. I've done just fine this week. There we go. Choke tipped a choke with another donation. $38. Only 122nd. I'm slow. But let's go for 900. Choke got 122nd place in the quiz. Oh, what's up? But he is a good sport and has gotten us to our $900 goal. Alex, thank you for the $5. I appreciate that. $905 today for Crash Wildlife, which is a wonderful organization. I love having organizations on multiple times. I like building a relationship with organizations that I support and that I respect. So very cool that we got to have them back. Next week is our 50th podcast episode. Big time. So it's going to be special. We're going to have a guest on that we have had before. But I'm not going to tell you who it is. All I'm going to tell you is that, well, I don't know how to give you a hint without spoiling it. Should I just spoil it? Without telling you who it is, but everyone will probably know if I tell it. Why not? Our 50th podcast episode, we're going to get to meet lots of animal friends. So I thought that would be a really cool podcast to do for the 50th. They're always really fun. And I think it's a good way to bring it all back to what we do these podcasts for. I think it's special for you guys. It is absolutely not Dobbins, no. You're joking about the teaching thing, right? Like, you're joking about the Zoom thing, right? He said, I can't repeat what he said because this is a podcast. Okay. So, thank you for being here for the 49th episode of the Conservation Cast. I love this podcast. Twitch is an untapped reservoir for doing good, and I'm so glad to be a part of it. You know, Matt did a media interview. Are you serious? Okay. Hi, Dobbins class. Matt did a media interview on television, and he said Twitch is an untapped reservoir for doing good on his interview because it was a Make-A-Wish thing. And they're like, wow, like, you really use Twitch to do such wonderful things. And he's like, yeah, Twitch is an untapped reservoir for doing good. I'm standing right off camera. I was like, you did not. And then he also said that he was like, yeah, I do a podcast every Friday about the environment. Check it out. I don't know. He just doesn't take anything seriously. Scotty, thank you for the 419. 910 dollars even. Beautiful. Thank you. Okay, I'm trying to think of the things that I need to tell you today. Big time. Ori made progress yesterday for the first time in 9 days. When I tell you guys that this is the slowest I've ever made progress with a bird of prey, I mean the slowest. But there was progress yesterday. So I think I've had him for 9 days. Maybe it's 10 days today. He is just a shy boy. Ori, for those of you who don't know, is my peregrine prairie falcon hybrid. He was donated as an educational ambassador because I work at a wildlife rehab center. He doesn't have perfect vision, so one of his eyes is a little bit scuffed. That's why he was a donation. But he's under my falconry license, so I'll be flying him for his enrichment, and for mine, I suppose. Thank you for the dollar. I appreciate that. We all appreciate that. But anyway, so he's been super, super shy this entire time. I have not been able to get him on my glove. But yesterday, he stepped up onto my glove to eat his entire meal, and he ate the whole meal on the glove. My arm was very tired, but I didn't care. Look at him go. That's huge for him, chat. It is huge that he stepped up like that, because every time I have to pick him up, because I need to weigh him every day, I hood him and weigh him every day. Every time I pick him up, he violently baits like I'm trying to end his life. He's like, don't touch me. So, it was really exciting that he stepped up yesterday. I'm going on Monday now, to go hunting with his, duck hunting with his previous owner and his peregrine falcons. So that'll be really cool. That man is also, yeah, my sponsor now, because I'm restarting my apprenticeship, my falconry apprenticeship in Texas. So that'll be really fun. Tonight, I really don't know what people have announced for tonight. I know that you guys know that we've all gotten corona tests, and I know you know there's something happening. I'm pretty certain it's being streamed. Melena told us that you're all going to the house at 5, right? Yeah, so 5. We're gonna be either Soda or Nick will stream it. Great. So I'll host it on my channel. I'll put it in my Discord as well, because I don't know whose channel it's going to be on, and I don't know what time they're starting. BroSauce with $54. Wait, no, BroSauce with $89. I'm sorry. I read your name. BroSauce with $89 for 1K. He said a cool 1K sounds nice. Dude. BroSauce 54. Thank you so much. That's amazing. Thank you. So for tonight, I'll put it in my Discord. You can join my Discord, and then I'll host it on this channel as well. We all got our corona tests on Tuesday, and we're getting another one tonight. Matt and I are negative. We got our results back on Wednesday morning. So one test down, one more to go, and then we'll be at Nick and Melina's tonight. So how was the test? Honestly, it doesn't hurt. It was a no swab, but I didn't like it. The idea of it kind of freaks me out, but don't let that stop you from getting a test. I have the lowest pain tolerance out of anyone I've ever met in my entire life. I'm just a baby, so it's really not that bad. Everyone should get a test if you can. It's good stuff. So that's tonight. Also, I got all new truck tires literally yesterday, and one of them is dead flat this morning, so I have to get another new tire today. $200 a tire. And this one is flat this morning. But I'm not paying for it because I got a warranty. Did you pay for the test? No, Twitch did. Panda, thank you for the dollar. Okay. It was nice, actually. Twitch had EMTs come to our house. So. All right. I think that's it for the podcast. I don't think I'm missing anything to talk about. There is... any horse streams coming soon? Yeah, Greek wants to learn all kinds of stuff. Greek wants to learn hockey and horseback riding, and so he's down whenever. I just have to tell him when. But we'll probably do a horse stream soon. Housewives is tomorrow. Yes. I'm not sure what time, but I'll tell you in the Discord. I think last week it was supposed to be scheduled for 3 p.m. CT, I think. So I assume it'll be the same time. But don't take my word for that. Keep an eye out on Twitter, and in my Discord, and in the Housewives Discord also. There is a Housewives Discord, so you can check that out. Wontep thinks that he can say whatever he wants because he's a partner now. Congratulations. I'll go ahead and host Russell today, and then I'll see you guys on stream tonight. I'll raid Russell. I'll see you on stream tonight. Why did Matt just message me? I need your help. Can I use your PS5? I'm gonna assume that was to the wrong person. Conch, thank you for the $1.18. Okay, I'm gonna play the outro and then I'm gonna host Russell. I just gotta find the outro. Thank you guys for watching today. You couldn't find your video. Okay, weird. No outro. Thank you guys for watching today. The viewership on the podcast has been increasing steadily, and it means a lot to me. I really, really appreciate that. I've talked to a couple people recently about the podcast that I respect a lot, and to have people that I respect be impressed with the podcast itself, the viewership, the use of the platform is really, really, really cool. So I'm really proud of it. I'm really proud of it. And I love that we do it. And I love that there are people here that enjoy it as well. It means a lot. So thank you for watching. Thank you for donations. But if you're not donating, if you can't, which is totally fine, I just appreciate you guys listening in, and like Kelsey said, that awareness piece is so massively important as well. Do command pins if you want to check out that Kickstarter. The pins are really, really cute, and the stickers are really cute. It's like $10 to pledge. I already did it. I'm really excited to get it. I'm going to put it on my IRL backpack. Leaked. I'm probably going to get an IRL backpack, but probably not until December or January. But Yeah, so we have that to look forward to as well. I'm going to suck it up and figure out how to use it because it's just necessary. I IRL more at least once a week. Like, I got to step it up. So that'll be cool. But all right. That's it. Go say hi to Russell. Sorry about the outro. I don't know why it's not working, but next time. Appreciate you guys.